Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
All right, Taz the Moose with you here. Hour number two, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Billy and James across the way, Bogish with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We go 2 hours left to play with. Kicking off hour number two, we do it in style. David Sampson joins us, baseball analyst for CBS Sports HQ, former executive with the Marlins. MLB trade deadline came in wet yesterday afternoon. We'll get into all of that, into the weeds. David, good morning, brother. How are you?
David, what's up?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
All right, man.
We're doing well. You know, David, sorry, Taz and I were just talking about it. Early returns here on the one trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Like it or no?
I actually did like it, but I think in the next 4 weeks I'm not going to like it, so let me explain. What it caused yesterday were a ton of trades that I would call August trades previously, trades that add depth to teams, trades that are really minor trades that you're doing to either take care of an injury that takes place where you need to replace that player for your playoff-bound team, or you're trying to add to your bench, or you're trying to clear out roster spots once you are get into August and you're a non-competing team. And knowing that deadline didn't exist, you had teams doing that before July 31st. So it added a little bit of extra work for the GMs to do yesterday.
Hey, David, who would you say the big winner of the Trevor Bauer trade is?
Oh, for me, it's got to be the Cincinnati Reds. They managed to decide that they were going to put $18 million next year into the payroll for Trevor Bauer. They got rid of Yasiel Puig, that's an addition by subtraction. So it sort of takes the cancer out of the clubhouse, and you bring in a guy who definitely couldn't go back to Cleveland because of what he did. But he's a strange, different kind of guy, but not malicious in the way that Puig is inside a clubhouse and on the field. And you've got a owner in Cincinnati who doesn't want to rebuild, is satisfied with being in the middle, and thinks that having Bauer, along with Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray, is the beginning of a good enough rotation to compete in the NL Central, which it's not.
When you look at the big splash was made by the Houston Astros, who not only strengthened their bullpen but also added Zach Greinke to the starting rotation. The Astro fan was smiling yesterday. He's got to be smiling this morning. Do you love what Houston did yesterday, David?
Oh yeah. Here's why: because when you have a good team and you've won a World Series and you've built a big farm system and you've got a great lineup and you've got a great 1-2 starting pitching, what do? you know what? You go for it. And when you have an opportunity to get Zach Greinke and you got Arizona to finally pay a decent amount of his contract, so you end up signing him really to a three-year, $54 million deal. So call it $18 million a year for Zach Greinke, who is a solid number three starter and will become a solid number two starter once they lose Cole to free agency. And he doesn't have to carry the staff because you've got Verlander through 21. You've given away four of your best prospects, but that's what prospects are for. They are there to help you win at the major league level. It's not great to be the number one ranked farm system and never win a World Series. What fun is that? When you've got a good farm system, you use it to try to win rings. And that's what Houston did, and that's what the Yankees did not.
Well, speaking of that, you know, the criticism that Cashman is facing here yesterday, today, will move forward unless this Yankee team win a World Series without being strengthened here, David. Do you think it's justified?
It's extremely justified. It is staggering to me. Very rarely after a trade deadline are there clear winners and losers because there's a lot of wait to see. You just don't know how some of these trades will end up with prospects moving who don't develop for a year or two. You don't know how much help certain players will be when you add them to a bullpen, et cetera. But what a clear, clear day for the New York Yankees yesterday. They swallowed hard. They would not give in. And I've been saying it on CBS Sports HQ, the Yankees have to lose a trade before July 31st. They have to acknowledge that they're going to overpay to get a starting pitcher because by not doing that, you are guaranteeing that your team cannot win the World Series. Guaranteeing it. And that's not what you want to do on July 31st.
Well, let me ask you this, David. What's the guy then? Give me the guy that they should have overpaid for. I mean, you can't give up Floreal and Garcia as the Mets tried to flip Stroman to him. You can't do that. You want to tell me Robbie Ray is the difference between the Yankees, winning a World Series and not? Where's the guy? I mean, Trevor, you want to say it's Trevor Bauer? They should have went all out and gotten Bauer from the Indians? With Bumgarner not being available, where the Mets are never trading Wheeler or Syndergaard to the Yankees. They don't want to see them help, especially the next 2 years. They want to trade Thor to the Yankees? They don't want to do that.
Make the Mets over win a trade for one time. Let the Wilpons win a trade and overpay to get Stroman. Overpay to get Bauer. They're going to be helpful. Syndergaard, make an attempt to try to pry him loose before he pitches the night before the deadline, which he did. Make an attempt to give in. You can give up Clint Frazier and a prospect or two to get Robbie Ray. You have no choice but to do it because you're looking at, before Cashman found out about Greinke, you're talking about Verlander and Cole facing off against Tanaka and Herman or Tanaka and Happ or Tanaka and Paxton. At bat,
the Yankees hope it's Paxton.
Right? You've got to
make hope it's not Happ.
Yeah, really. I agree. That's true.
You guys are laughing, but they're crying in the Bronx because it is a bad day when those
tears.
Players get to the clubhouse, right? And what really happened in the real world is those players, they know that they are in first place, that they've done enough with all the injuries that they've overcome to put themselves in a position where you need your front office to have your back. You need the reinforcements to be brought in, and they get to the clubhouse today, and they look around, and they see the same group, and they have to pretend everything's great, and they all have the lines that came from above, which says, hey, we've got what we need in here. You heard Aaron Boone say it. I look around. This is a championship club. Brian Cashman, we've got what we need. We're going to have two deadline additions in Severino and Betances. You've got everyone on point. But those players, they're not on point because they look at that front office and say, you let us down.
You're listening to CBS Sports Radio. Listen to Taz and the Moose. Our special guest right now is David Sampson, MLB analyst for CBS Sports HQ. Hey, Dave, so we mentioned Wheeler, I should say, a second ago there. Why do you think guys like Zach Wheeler and Mike Minor, Vasquez, ended up staying put?
Well, it's different reasons for each. Let's start with Zach Wheeler. There was no reason in the world for him not to get traded, but I know exactly what happened. The ownership of the Mets said, you know what, we traded for Stroman. We're going to be looked at as buyers if we don't trade anyone else. If we do trade other people, we're going to look like we don't have a plan and we're doing both buying and selling. Let's not do that. Let's try to see if we can get hot and get into the playoffs this year. And if we can't, we know that we've got a good rotation, even if we lose Wheeler going into 2020. But it didn't address the fact that their team as a whole and the way it's operating, it's just not working well. And to think that you're going to come back from their position under 500 this late, to jump over all those teams and actually make the playoffs is unrealistic, but I get it. I used to think that way too, but it's just not going to work. But Vasquez for Pittsburgh, they should have traded him because they had a chance to get better.
Right.
Because bullpen arms are inconsistent. It is very rare that a bullpen arm is going to be good year in, year out, year in, year out. And you have to trade a guy at his max value. You saw the Marlins do that when they traded Zach Gallen, a young pitcher, and they got Arizona's number one prospect. Mm. Zach Gallen will never be worth more than he was yesterday. Nick Anderson to the Tampa Rays. The Marlins did another great job. He'll never be worth more. That's the goal at the deadline, is to maximize your players, sell at the high, and the Pirates lost that opportunity.
You know, did a team that their bullpen's been awful since the All-Star break. How about what the Atlanta Braves were able to do? You know, Shane Green headline in the list, but adding some relievers to help out that bullpen.
What a great job. You know, the only thing I took issue with is that they're actually paying Melanson's contract, which is a complete overpay. But the Braves had been criticized both inside their clubhouse and by their fans and media that they had a lot of money left to spend. They have a lot of outside stadium revenue with all the things that have been built around their new ballpark, SunTrust Stadium. And so they said, you know what, we have an opportunity to spend here and help us in an area of need. And having a strong bullpen is their only hope of beating the Dodgers. And they got lucky that the Dodgers did not help their bullpen. I think the Braves were tremendous winners at the deadline, bringing in Shane Green. And don't forget Chris Martin, who is under the radar, 6'8" journeyman who's just having a good year, and that's really what you want in a bullpen. You want to trade for someone who's hot.
Hey, Dave, what about Cleveland? What about the Indians? I mean, do you feel that a favorite now in the AL Central, you know, after the Twins were, you know, quiet at the deadline?
So they're not favored by me. I don't know who they're favored by. The Twins have a better lineup. You know, you can say that they brought in Puig and Reyes. Reyes is a good DH who brings negative defense to their outfield, but certainly brings right-handed power, which they needed. And Puig does bring a right-handed bat, but all the other things that Puig brings, to me, it's worth a negative one or two wins as opposed to a positive. And then they traded away pitching and didn't really replace it, counting on Corey Kluber getting healthy, counting on Shane Bieber. I was about to call him Justin Bieber. Counting on Shane Bieber continuing to ascend into a number one or two starter, and hoping that Carrasco comes back from his terrible health issue, and Salazar. I just don't agree with doing that. You don't take pitching away from a playoff team. You try to add pitching to it.
We're talking to David Sampson, MLB analyst for CBS Sports HQ. You know, David, you were ultra critical of the Yankees. Are you just as critical of the Dodgers?
I'm not just as critical of them because they've made it to the World Series twice, but I caution Andrew Friedman and the rest of the Dodgers, if they lose to the Astros or the Twins or the Yankees or anybody in the World Series, they're dangerously close to being the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, I'm a Bills fan here. Slow down, Dave.
Well, let me explain what I mean by that.
Slow down there, buddy.
No, but as a Giants fan who thinks about Super Bowl 25 every day of his life, let me just point out what the Bills did is unbelievable, making it to the Super Bowl four straight times.
Right.
However, they couldn't get over the hump and even win one. And that truly is their legacy, whether you're a Bills fan or not.
No, I know. I'm joking.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I get it.
Yeah.
But if the Dodgers lose three World Series in a row, that's going to be their legacy. And they needed to bridge the gap to Kenley Jansen, who is not as effective as he's been. There's something off with him. And they have an unbelievable starting staff. They have a great lineup, great experience, great versatility, great bench. Their bullpen is not enough. And even if they move Maeda into the bullpen come playoff time, even if they move Buehler into the bullpen come playoff time, which I don't think they can do, they have to have him start, bullpens are what win rings in October. Not mashing in the middle of your lineup, not having unbelievable starting pitching, but that certainly helps. But at the end of the day, bullpens are the difference.
You know, but, you know, stay with that Dodgers. They held on to, you know, their top prospects, especially their top pitching prospect, David. This kid, Dustin May, who's set to make his debut tomorrow night for the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? I guess his nickname is Ginger Guard, right? An ode to Noah. He's got the flowing red hair, 6'5". How good is this kid, Dustin May?
He's great. But the question is, it is very rare you know, in 2003, we had a rookie named Dontrell Willis, who was a critical piece to us winning the World Series.
For sure.
The Cardinals had Adam Wainwright, who was a critical piece to winning the World Series in 06 as the closer. So it can happen, but it doesn't happen all that often. I understand they didn't want to trade their great shortstop prospect, Gavin Lux, or Dustin May. I get it. But the Astros managed to get Greinke without trading their top two prospects, and they were very
deep. Tucker's still a stro.
And they gave a ton of prospects in between, you know, 4 and 10 ranking. The Dodgers could have done that as well. They could have found a package. So I just think that they became too enamored with sticking with their prospects and not realizing that they're in danger of going 0 for 3.
Dave, you know what I want to ask you? I want to ask you a question, something about, not about the trade deadline, but something, what happened the other night with the Reds and the Pirates and, you know, the brawl, the big brawl they had. From a managerial, from a front office perspective, I should say, what's your take on that, or how you have dealt with that with players? I mean, it was it was entertaining. Thank God no one got hurt. But it was pretty heavy. That wasn't your typical, you know, yelling at each other and the refs the umps up, pulling guys apart and stuff like that. This was a straight up Pier 6 brawl here.
Well, let me tell you what I was doing while watching that brawl live. I was jumping through the TV, pretending that I was the GM of the Cleveland Indians, and I was screaming at the Cincinnati Reds because I've never seen it in my 18 years of running a team. When you trade a player, you call and it's during a game, you call down to the clubhouse manager, who then goes to the dugout, tells the manager that Yasiel Puig has been traded,
right,
and Yasiel Puig gets pulled from the game. Not after an inning, not after 10 minutes, it happens after 3 seconds. And the fact that Yasiel Puig was still in the game is beyond shocking to me, inexcusable, and Dick Williams actually apologized, saying, we didn't think that it would be an issue. We can't believe what bad luck we had that he was only in for a half inning extra, and then the brawl happened. Inexcusable. Chris Antonetti, the president of the Cleveland Indians baseball operations, said, we were watching in disbelief. Well, I wouldn't have just been watching. I would have been on the phone. That was one takeaway. Number two is David Bell, the manager of the Reds. He did two things that are going to cost him greatly. Number one, he was ejected in the eighth inning. So he was out of the game. He then went back onto the field to be a part of the brawl. That will add a few games to his suspension. Number two.
Well, hold on, wait. I got to interrupt you, Dave. I mean, he is. I mean, I understand he was in the clubhouse. He was ejected. I got you. But he is, you know, standing up with his team, fighting with his team. Once it breaks down into that, from an athlete's perspective, you know, you kind of got to be there for your guys if it's a knuckle up situation.
You and I are in complete agreement. What I was simply saying is the minute he comes on that field, it's adding some games to his suspension.
Gotcha.
He had no choice but to come out of the clubhouse, but he knows very well that he's going to have more games suspended because of it. The second thing he did, though, he didn't have to do, and it's going to cost him games as well. Post-game interview.
Or get caught in a headlock?
He did.
No, he called out Major League Baseball by saying, Major League Baseball does not protect my players from Clint Hurdle and the Pirates throwing at them, so I have to protect them. I have to do what I have to do to make sure that my men are protected because MLB is doing nothing to protect me or to help my players.
Yeah,
that may be true, but you can't say it.
No, that's true. I mean, and some things are better left unsaid. Just like, you know, there's never been a purpose pitch thrown in Major League Baseball. When we know that happens all the time, you ask the starter after the game or the reliever after the game, the baseball all the time, it just slipped. I missed my location. I didn't have a good grip, whatever it might be. My hand was a little sweaty. I didn't get enough. That's the thing. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, sometimes things are better left unsaid. We're talking to David Sampson, MLB analyst for CBS Sports HQ. David Castellanos going from the Tigers to the Cubs yesterday. Obviously, Chicago trying to keep open that championship window. You know, their front office has been ultra aggressive. Do you like what he could provide, the outfielder can provide, going from the Tigers to the Cubs?
Yeah, I do. I like that platoon with Schwarber, and I think that that's an important pickup. I think it could have been closer to an August pickup. And they had to take on an extra month of his salary instead of getting him later on into August and having him for a shorter period. But that's an important sort of depth piece who could become, you know, a platoon player and probably will be a platoon player. I like him. He needed to get out of Detroit. Detroit held him for probably a year to a year and a half too long. So So the return they got on that asset was less than what they should have gotten, because they've got to realize that they can't win with Miguel Cabrera making as much money as he's making as part of their payroll, and his ineffectiveness now because of injury and age. So they had to have gotten rid of him earlier and just never pulled the trigger for a reason I'll never know. And that's, you know, trading Shane Green was another example, very smart move. They're not going to compete during his years of control. So get him to Atlanta, get back a good prospect, and move right along.
All right, as we sit here on this August 1st, David, you think the clear favorite in the American League is Houston, right?
You know, I must tell you that I got a call in March from the Astros, who told me that on July 31st they were going to trade for Greinke. So I actually chose the Astros over the Dodgers in the World Series preseason, and I'm going to stick to that pick.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. In March,
I'm
you
kidding.
Oh, hold on. Ah, there you go. All right.
I'm kidding.
There you go.
Hey, Dave, listen. It's a little David. It's a little tough to tell when you're kidding. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I love that.
I know you do. Delivery is very that, much the same.
You got that stern management thing going on.
Very much.
I feel like I'm talking to my boss. Oh, my wife.
Oh my God. I don't want to be either of those things to you.
David, you mentioned about prospects. Final one here is that the baseball fan always loves the prospects in the system, right? Their guy coming up through it, especially if those guys develop into stars. From your perspective, you mentioned in terms of being critical of the Yankees and then the Dodgers holding on to their guys, the Astros, even though they didn't trade their top two guys, trade a lot of guys in their top 10, four of them. For an organization, is there ever a guy that you deem untouchable? I mean, is that something where it's really kind of changed with, control, player control being so key when you look at young stars in Major League Baseball? The game's gotten a lot younger as we've moved along here. Look at how young the National League All-Star team was. So has the perspective of front offices completely changed here in terms of the way they look at their farm system and looking at pieces as being guys that are unmovable?
It has, and here's, I'm going to give you three stories very quickly. There have been untouchable prospects and systems since I got into baseball in 2000. I'm going to take you all the way back and give you some names that will make you smile. We tried to trade for a guy from the Red Sox named Will Middlebrooks.
Yeah.
Will Middlebrooks is now with me at CBS Sports HQ, a career 230 hitter who never really had a career because of injury. And he was untouchable. We couldn't get him. Anaheim Angels. Alfredo Amezaga and Jeff Mathis. Remember those names?
I do, yes.
Untouchable. Untouchable. You couldn't offer Hanley Ramirez at his peak and access Jeff Mathis or Alfredo Amezaga. Stanton. These guys, Stanton couldn't access Bellinger. That worked out for the Dodgers. We didn't allow anyone to access Stanton. That worked out for the Marlins. But for everyone who we said we wouldn't trade, there was someone who we wouldn't trade who didn't work out. So that's still going to happen here. Prospects are still 50-50, no matter their pedigree. The Dodgers, it is very rare that both Lux and May will be above average all-star major league players. It's possible, but not definite. The Yankees, we thought Andujar, Gleyber Torres, these guys were coming in above average superstars. Well, now, how many of us talk about Andujar a year later?
Well, nobody with him being hurt, right.
But that's whether it's hurt, which is Will Middlebrooks, or lack of production and performance and becoming who you didn't think they'd become, which is Mathis becoming a no-hit, unbelievably great defensive catcher who's been in the league 15 years, but still not who they thought he would be as a frontline guy. So my point is, it is rare that these prospects end up being exactly what you think they're going to be. So when you have a chance to help your team and help them now, and you've got a window to win, that's your job. Your job is to win at the major league level, not to develop the most prospects.
David Sampson, baseball analyst, CBS Sports HQ. David, we appreciate the time. Always do. Great talk a little baseball with you, and enjoy the rest of your Thursday, all right?
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, have a great day, guys.
You got it. Always does a good job. And he's right. I mean, ran through some names there, but also gave you, Bellinger with the Dodgers, Stanton with the Marlins. Mm. I mean, there are guys, but there are a lot of prospects, Taz, that are very well thought of that fizzle out for a number of, every reason, every guy, the reason why they fizzle is a little bit different, but there are plenty of guys of names that were well thought of at one point in time that had little to no major league career.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you see it in other sports too, basketball players coming out of college or, football players coming out of college. you know, and it fizzles out. You know, it happens in wrestling too, believe it or not. Even though it's entertainment, it's a show. Some guys, they come into WWE or whatever, and it just doesn't work out like you think it's going to work out. I mean, but yeah, it happens with prospects for sure in baseball a lot. I do think because of all the games and everything that's going on, moving parts, there's so many in baseball.
There really
such
is.
Such a huge business, man.
A little bit, it's, you know what, but a little bit different when you look at baseball as compared to the NFL or, you know.
A little bit different.
I mean, yeah, it's similar to the National Hockey League because they've got that, you know, minor league system, right? Mm. There's no minor league system in the NFL.
Like the junior hockey and all, right?
Right. In the NBA, they've developed it a little bit with, you know, the G League, D League, whatever, but you know, it's there for a little, but it doesn't have the history with baseball. I mean, you're talking about a big financial commitment. You brought up wrestling, which is a fair one because you'll see guys that
like
are
in NXT,
that are wrestling in smaller circuits and trying to kind of gain a foothold.
It changes,
it changes, and you evolve, and then you could target somebody that you think has got, you know, star or certainly WWE written all over him or her. Yep. And then they're given that opportunity, and some succeed, and obviously some, there have been many that have fizzled.
With baseball or whatever sport or wrestling, you know, it's like you're in a smaller system, minor league system, junior hockey, or you're working in WWE and you work for NXT, and now you go to WWE, or you're in you go to the NHL, or you go to Major League Baseball. Now you're a big fish, small pond.
Yeah.
You know, when you're big fish, you're small fish, big pond, I should say. But when you were a big fish, small pond, it's like our business. It's like someone being in radio, and they do a great job in a smaller market. You know, and no knock on the smaller markets, and then they come to a bigger market. Not all guys or girls succeed in radio or TV when they come to a bigger market.
No.
You know, it's a little bit different, you know?
It is. Pressure's on, totally a little different. Bit different. Yeah. Certainly the expectations, the focus, it is a tad different. So, I mean, it's...
You know, not everybody flourishes like you and I. You do realize that.
No, blossom, like a
blossom's
rose.
Blossom's a better word.
Like a rose.
And that David Samson body ripped the Yankees. Oh, man.
I know. What am I going to do?
I just laid out.
I understand.
I felt bad for you a little bit.
Why do you feel bad?
Because he's got that delivery. And he took a shot at my Bills. That was unacceptable.
Well, it's fair. I mean, the Dodgers.
It was a pretty good analogy.
At one point in time, the Dodgers got to win a World Series.
It was a pretty good
example. They haven't won a World Series in 30 years.
When
they're
said,
worried about Dustin
I know,
May and
Lux. I know,
Lux.
You're right. When he said the words Buffalo Bills, I'm like, what? Why is Samson talking about the Buffalo Bills? But then I realized why.
Well, he took a shot at the Yankees, took a shot at the Dodgers,
really compared to the Bills.
And then the Mets, he said, basically made no sense why they didn't trade Wheeler.
He ripped all our teams.
Right. He was
what
firing
on
all
about the
cylinders.
Redskins, Dave?
Right, exactly. Right. And that's too easy.
Yeah,
that's like basically right. That's like putting the ball up on a tee. Exactly right. It's Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Certainly are on a Thursday morning. We're taking right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific, 855-212-4227. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose, at Official Taz, at Mark Malusis with a C. And remember to download that podcast each and every day. Radio.com and Apple Podcasts. So you can, or wherever you download your podcast, certainly you can do that.
You know, that's what a lot of people say. I say the same thing wherever you, for my wrestling podcast, the Taz Show, like wherever you get your podcast. And it's weird. I mean, and it's the right thing to say, but I always wonder, does that cover, like whenever I say it, I just heard you say it, and you hear so many people say it, does it cover like every podcast provider, like every podcast platform, I should say? That's what needs to be found out by some people that work here.
Yeah, I don't know that answer.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either.
Yeah. So, okay. Fair.
Well. Anyway. No, I don't know. Okay, sorry. I don't know. I always wonder. That's so weird.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's such an easy way to promote something.
Yeah.
Hey, man, listen to Taz and Moose podcast. Listen to Taz show. Listen to Monzo and Moose. Is it Moose and Monzo? What do you guys call your Naira deal?
No, it's, well, it changes. The name changes based on the meat
good.
That's going
that's
on.
That's good branding. By the way,
It's Naira. Well, it's the Triple Crown Series, or it's Saratoga, or it's the Breeders' Cup.
I thought of yesterday. I'm driving back.
Southern Cal Race.
Back to the Casa. you know, from here, right, to the compound. And
it's your house.
Traffic, yeah, correct. Traffic is insane, right? Yeah. And I'm over there in Queens, but I'm near the Nassau County borderline. Where do I see a gigantic horse trailer, Naira, a huge,
yeah,
it's going to Belmont. Yeah, yeah, I guess they were either going to drop horses off, pick them up.
Yeah,
I
could see transport.
Huge, huge. I don't know how, there had to be, not 8 or 9 horses in the state.
Yeah, they do that,
it was big
yeah.
Naira looks. Pretty cool, I thought of you.
On the East Coast, no, that's...
I was trying to catch up to see if you were driving it.
No.
Hey, Moose!
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine... He's got his new car.
Yeah. Stall in the
back. I got this new car. I got a new Naira truck. Yeah, Taz, yeah. I got a trailer. I got horses. Yeah.
Those guys get paid well, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. They drive all over, man. They
well,
drive
yeah.
all over
sometimes
the
horses are worth more than everyone in this room combined.
That's a great point. and that's also true. That's very true.
No, but anyway, I'm not even just talking about them. I'm talking about their, you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. But I did think, you know, I don't normally think of anyone just like you that when I leave here, ever. But
what is that?
No, but anyway, no. So I saw the big Naira truck. Is that bad when I see a Naira truck? I think of
no,
you.
No, no, no. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you love it.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's
Andrew,
great.
Is that bad that you see a you know a horse racing
did
truck?
Did you bet the over under on its arrival time?
I didn't. Know. Maybe the guy next to me did.
No, I did not. I wonder who they were transporting.
I don't know, but it was. It might have been empty. I didn't see actual horses. I know it was a huge trailer.
It might have been Monzo on his way to Disney.
What is this?
Yeah. Can I borrow the transport?
He's already down to Disney.
Oh, he's down there, right?
Yeah, he's down there in Disney.
Wow, look at that.
He's been there since he left Saturday. So he's been there since he stopped in Georgia, and then he texted me Sunday morning when they were 5 miles outside of Disney. Took a picture, sent me a photo.
Wow, that's true friendship. When you're on vacation and you text.
Yeah, we've texted back and forth over the trip. Having a great time.
Loving friendship.
He's a good man.
No, but yeah, he's all right. But here's the thing, though. Monzo's your guy. No, what does he have now? 7 kids? 8?
No, 6 kids.
He's got 6 kids. So when you go to Disney and you got 6 kids, I got to be honest. That's not a vacation. That's work.
I'll tell you, him and Jade, they have it down pat.
Do you happen to know how old his oldest is?
I think
only like 9, right?
I think called 9, Lord. Yeah.
I thought maybe he had a kid that was a little bit older that could
like 12, 13,
like a half a parent,
like another parent.
Yeah,
no,
a little help.
No, he's in he's only, I think Colton's only about 9.
All right,
he's about 2.5 years older than Jackson.
Gee whiz, man. So they love it, huh? They don't care, they go down there,
dude,
and
they love it
with all those kids,
they love
man.
It, they love it.
Wow.
The kids love it. They love it. They do a great job with it.
They're great people. Great parents.
It
that's is. Awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. They have a great time. And they go every single year and drive down every single year.
That's
it's
awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah,
it's
that crazy. Is crazy. I mean, they do have planes.
And they're down for 13 days. But, I mean, that's cheaper. I mean, if you're buying
that
those.
Many kids. You're buying that many plane tickets. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. That's 8 plane tickets.
I know. If I had.
There and back, I mean, I'd rather drive as well. I'd rather get the transit.
I would need 8 first class seats. So I just, at that point, if I had that many kids, I was just chartered a plane.
But the fries on Main Street are great.
They are. Back in the day, they were. I told you the story. It's a true story.
Yes.
I'll tell you. It's a true story.
I agree with you.
They
that
used
relationship.
To have it. Did you not look into this, sir?
We did look into it at the time.
Did I lie or did I tell the truth?
No, but the relationship ended with them and McDonald's like 12 years ago.
I know. I haven't been there in a while. I haven't been there in a while.
That was the point. That was the point of the
My wife was saying the other day, she goes, now that you know our son is older, and we should go to Disney, her and I.
You guys should.
Yeah, and you know, we always thought about that. You know, because
I love it.
It's a little bit of a different vacay.
I know. It's great. Donna and I went before we had kids.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was amazing. We had a great time.
You always see adults without kids there. Yeah. And I laugh at them. Like, what are these people? What are these
nerds? Epcot at night, walking the countries, you know, having a couple of drinks.
Yeah, go to Mexico.
Food.
Yeah.
I don't.
Dude, the restaurant at the Mexico gimmick with the little boat is phenomenal. The food there is unbelievable. In Canada. Steakhouse, right.
Yeah,
you've had it, right? Oh,
yeah, the steakhouse is good at Canada.
Tremendous.
What's it called? Las?
I don't remember.
I haven't
been there in a while, if you haven't noticed. But no,
we didn't go. Yeah. No, we didn't go to Mexico. Somebody in our party had a bad experience in Mexico with the food. I won't say it. I'm sure it was a while back.
It was Monzo.
No, it was not Monzo.
And you've been to Mexico over there?
I don't remember being.
I know.
Why? Japan.
Japan's okay.
Jay Paul at France is fantastic.
Japan restaurant, the Japanese restaurant, the main one, it's Mensa. I've been to Japan, the real Japan.
Well, it's a little bit.
The real one. You know what I mean?
Understand.
Like, so.
Well, it's a Japanese steakhouse.
It's not as good as other
Japan.
Yeah,
well,
as Japan.
Not. Yeah, it's not as good as Japan.
But no, anyway.
I'd hope not.
But the beer is great.
The beer is good. Sapporo Jones. Yes.
Sapporo is very good.
Kirin's also very good, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Kirin's good
beer.
I'm
more tending to like the Sapporo.
I like Sapporo, too.
Yeah. Very, very good.
It is good.
Stop over in England, the pub there, great beer there.
Yes, I had a Boddington's there. Are you familiar with this beer?
Yes, I had a Boddington's. Yeah.
Yes. You ever have that, Andrew? You drink beer?
I drink beer, not Boddington's.
Do you get checked? You get ID'd? What do you get?
No, not anymore.
Sir, is that a fake beer?
Show my bald spot, that's good enough.
They're going to say something else. You ever had a Boddington?
I have not.
Oh, it's good.
Warm?
No,
does that come warm?
No, it's not warm.
No,
it's not Guinness. It's not
Guinness, exactly.
We're not at the brewery.
You open the bottle. You guys, hey, James, you ever have a Boddington? You look like a beer guy.
I have not.
He looks like he drinks a lot of beer.
I do.
I could tell.
Yeah, he enjoys himself. Yeah, he's like a roadie for McTowell.
He is. He's
today he's your roadie.
That's what he is. I'm
really into White Claw now. I got to be honest with
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah. The seltzer?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Oh,
that's good stuff.
Got one in my fridge right now waiting for me at home.
White Claw is very good.
Is it good? I've seen it. I know what it is. I never have.
Yeah, it's good.
It's like a mild. What is it? Vodka in there?
Mild.
It's like a fruit flavored seltzer with a little kick in it.
Yeah, it's very mild. You can't. It's not as strong.
I'm shocked
a manly
by
man.
This.
Yeah. James Hughes looks very manly.
I would have paid Griselda for a guy that stabs someone that drinks White Claw, not actual drinks.
James
White Claw.
Looks like he's more of a Bud Light guy or a Bud guy.
White Claw Truly. There's there's a number of spiked seltzers out there.
During the winter, I would never be caught dead with one.
But, yeah,
it's nice out. You want it? So you want something a little airy, a little fresh?
Yeah, drink a Heineken Light. You want something light in the summer?
But
Amstel.
It refreshes you and gets you where you need to go.
Well, hopefully he's not driving, just pounding down White Claws.
No one's talking about drinking and driving.
He said he gets where he's got to go. I mean,
it wasn't a geographical reference.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for picking up on that, Andrew. Jesus.
Can I call you by your real name when we're like, putting you in your place?
Mike DeRuki.
Oh,
yeah, that's my real name. Mike DeRuki.
My God, don't get
Todd.
Behind the car. That's
well, I just want to make sure. About. I don't want to, you know, I mean. You know,
I think I understand.
When
I
you say everyone... get where you got to go, I'm thinking, this, you know, make sure, listen.
Yeah, he means
James,
hammered.
When you're pounding that white clothes, get yourself an Uber.
I don't know how to drive.
I think we're all responsible
Mike,
adults.
Mike, picks them up.
I'm talking about there's a purpose to drinking.
I know. But Moose, I didn't know you were well versed on all the kind of lighter type of drinks, like light.
They also make a spiked Arnold Palmer.
I've seen that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, spiked root beer is the way to go. If we're gonna have
man,
this
I don't drink that stuff, man. If I'm gonna drink, I drink beer or I drink scotch or cognac. Mm. That's it. That's
spiked
how
root
I do.
Beer too sugary, headache very quickly.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't do the spiked root beer.
See, I don't do any of that stuff.
Natural Light has this strawberry lemonade beer right now. Love it. Drink it all the time.
Natural Light that's probably one of the cheaper beers, right?
Well, it's a Natty Light. It's new for the summer. Strawberry lemonade plus beer.
Natty Light was the go-to up at Syracuse.
It's still the go-to at college campuses.
Yeah.
I have
cost
a son,
a lot.
Trust me.
Cheap.
I know.
It's get to where
$6 for 50. Yeah,
get to where you want to go, which is Buzz Taz.
Yeah, no, I know.
Not in your vehicle driving.
Yeah, don't drive. Just walk.
Yes. Andrew, take it away.
Oh, sure. Before Zach Greinke went from Arizona to Houston at the deadline yesterday, the biggest trade was the three-way between Cincy, Cleveland, and San Diego. Trevor Bauer, the headliner there, moving across Ohio to the Reds. On Bauer's way out the door, manager Terry Francona said he was worried about the lasting impact of Bauer heaving the ball over the center field fence in frustration on Sunday.
Well, I'm not on the team, and so that none of that really matters. So, believe what you will.
So after brushing off that question, Bauer actually went into the stands and watched part of the Indians' 10-4 defeat to the Astros last night.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. That guy is he is a unique dude, man.
He is a little bit different. But as Samson said, not different in a bad way.
No, I agree. Different. I agree. Yeah.
Him and Garrett Cole hate each other.
I didn't know that.
Yes, hate each other. They're teammates at UCLA. Garrett Cole was a first-round draft choice of the Yankees coming out of high school and decided to go to UCLA.
What if they know Josh Rosen?
No, it's just
too old.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But good call.
Maybe on a recruiting trip.
I think Rosen was 10.
Maybe not.
Rosen, I mean, we're going, maybe not 10. Maybe it was about 12.
All right. I believe in connecting stories, even though he was a kid. Not
maybe
going
they knew
on a
Lou Alcindor.
Trip.
Nope.
Right. Lou Alcindor.
Different.
All right, you know what?
Time frames.
All right, here we go. What?
Bill Walton.
All right, here we go. Let's see.
Yeah. Was John Wooden their coach, too?
No. Wait a second. Wait a second. Don't be so sensitive. You bring up the idea of connecting storylines.
I'll be over here if you need me in the corner.
Baseball games last night. The Rays, an 8-5 win at Fenway.
Good Carmelo.
Do you know Carmelo from Syracuse, Moose? No?
Oh, I asked Moose the other day if he knew Dave Lappin.
He's 32 years older than me.
Ever take a class with Jim Brown up there?
I mean, jeez. I did with Pearl Washington, God rest his soul.
Moose cutting his teeth doing Jim Brown lacrosse games in Syracuse WAER.
Right. Good job, yes.
So the Rays won in Fenway 8-5. The A's losing at home to the Brewers 4-2. So Tampa Bay jumps Oakland for the second wild card spot for the moment. Seattle's six-game win streak ends in Texas 9-7. The Cubs 2, the Cardinals nothing in St. Louis. They are even again atop the NL Central. And the Giants 5-1 winners in Philadelphia. Football returns tonight, kinda. The Hall of Fame game in Canton. It's the Broncos and Falcons, and it's the very first game Vic Fangio will work as a head coach.
I hope I don't forget something that I need to do. You know, from an organizational standpoint, I might, but I'm pretty good at not sweating the little stuff.
The Broncos went with the 60-year-old Fangio this winter, while the rest of the league leans towards younger head coaches.
Or anyone who knows, you know, the Rams coach.
Right. He's been an assistant for four decades. Joe Flacco will not play tonight for the Broncos. Kevin Hogan starts instead. And the MLS All-Stars.
Well, hold on a second. Who's locked in here? Are you guys going to watch this game tonight?
I probably will. Mets, no Yankees. Mets were playing this afternoon in Chicago against the White Sox, so I probably will tune on for a little bit.
I'll watch a little bit. I'm going to watch a little bit of football.
We'll watch all four quarters. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I got things to do. I'm very busy.
Good. Not seltzer to drink.
It has to do with just lack of interest in watching it in the
besides
fourth
that,
quarter.
That means better things to do. That's
you have
true.
AC again yet, Taz?
Excuse me?
You have AC again yet?
Oh, yeah. No, my guy came yesterday, fixed it all up.
Okay,
it was actually an electrical issue with one of the, I have seven units.
Right.
So one of the outdoor units. They're massive units.
One of your substations
so,
was
yeah,
down?
So, yeah. Yeah, so they're massive. He had to cut the lock on the barbed wire, a lock on. This whole big thing. So anyway, it was an electrical thing. It shorted out. That's what happened. I had some kind of a surge. You know, with all the storms you've had, I had some kind of a surge with a couple of different things outside my house. We have like a small pool house that has power. That surged out. So something, I don't know what happened. I don't know if like my house got hit by lightning. I don't know what happened. But we had some kind of electrical thing a couple days ago.
He was able to fix it,
yeah. And it wasn't a lot of money. He didn't charge us a lot.
Oh, good.
But I know him a long time, so he did the right thing. But here's the problem, real quick. I just have to say this.
My fault, Moose.
Oh, what's the matter?
We got to go to break. Because we're coming up. Because we got...
Sorry. That's never happened on the show where I got cut down.
Hey, we
got
to go to break.
Can I tell? Am I allowed to tell the story on the other side? It's a funny story.
We just have to get the break. Right, otherwise, we're just not going to have any time. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So, Taz, you're telling a story about your AC.
Correct, sir. I was, because it had to be fixed. It was an issue. So my guy came in. I know him a long time. But the thing is, like, he's a great guy. Right, Greg, I know him. I probably know him 15 years. Lives in our town, right? Good guy. You know, my son, his son played sports together when they were younger and all this stuff, you know. Anyway, the thing with him, though, okay, he's got to give you the play-by-play on everything he's working on with the unit. You know, like one of those guys. He means well. But I'm like, bro, look. And he's like telling me, well, you got to, this is the problem with the voltage on this. I take the volt, he shows me, he owns his own business. So he's got like three guys who work for him. He owns his own like AC and boiler company. So, you know, Central Air and all that stuff does commercial and residential homes, you know.
Good. So he's got a successful
Yes, he's successful.
Business.
He does. But it's only got a couple of guys work. So he's out in the field doing work. Like he's not sitting in an air-conditioned office. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing is, dude, everything he does. He's giving you the play-by-play on everything.
It's draining.
It is. I can't just, like, hang out in the house while he's outside work because I know him. I'm not going to hang out. I haven't seen him in, like, 2 years.
So you're
I go and I just talk to him, you know what I mean?
Right, while he's working.
I figure we're talking about whatever, how the kids are evolving and growing up.
You learn something about your house, right, how everything works.
I know a lot now about AC units.
Nice.
Yeah, I really feel like I could go work for an air conditioning company right now.
So he rectified it to where he fixed it and you'll no longer have that problem.
He did. Well,
good.
Right. It should
or do you
be.
Have to call somebody else?
I'm going to give you some advice. No, we're good. I'm going to give you advice he gave me. All kidding aside, whoever has central air out there, listen, my guy knows. Make sure you change your vents in the house where the exchange is. Clean, put a new vent in. They're cheap. Buy them at Home Depot or wherever. Every year. You know, the filter.
Yeah,
not
every
vent,
six
the
months.
Filter. Yeah, that's even better. Yeah. A lot of people don't do it. And we always change it. We had an electrical issue. But that's some good advice I want to give to anybody out there with central air. Okay?
You didn't change it.
No, we did. My wife always reminds me. No, we did. Honestly, that's funny. I forget. She remembers. You got to change it.
I know. It's a pain in the butt.
It is.
Taz Moose, we come back to 3, CBS Sports Radio.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.